This story from the JournalStar.com website. The FBI said yesterday it is reopening its investigation into the 1964 kidnapping of a newborn boy from a Chicago hospital. Why are they reopening the investigation? Recent DNA testing revealed that a boy found in New Jersey more than a year later and returned to the elated parents wasn't actually their son.
Really?
So since 1965 until 2013, this boy and the parents thought that they had been reunited. Not the case.
So this person's almost 50 years old now.
Yes, in fact, Paul, little Paul, is now 49.
Wow.
He's a married father of his own. He works as a college administrator, and he's living in Henderson, Nevada. He told the Chicago Sun-Times in June that he had long wondered why he didn't resemble his parents. Hey, I don't look like my dad Chester or my mom Dora or really anybody else in the family. This is weird to me. So they underwent DNA testing earlier this year to see if he was their biological son. Turns out he isn't.
Wow.
So you've been living for 49 years, believing your life was a certain way, believing you came from a certain set of parents, even though you have questions.
Right.
You're living your life. The parents believe it to be true as well.
Oh, sure.
Our son was kidnapped, taken from a Chicago hospital in 1964, but a year later we're reunited. Oh my God, it's a miracle. It turns out, no. And you don't know if your actual son, your biological child,
where is he?
Is still out there somewhere.
Right. Plus, what about this gentleman and who is his real parents?
I don't know.
This is just a fascinating story.
Crazy. Paul now says he wrote his parents a letter when he got the results to let them know. He says, I really feel in my heart that the real Paul is alive and well out there somewhere, and nothing would make me more happy in this life than to find the real kidnapped child. And at the same time, I wouldn't mind finding out who I am, he told the Chicago Sun-Times.
Sure. Yeah.
He said he came forward with the story because the case is unsolved. Hundreds of police officers, FBI agents searched for the Oak Lawn couple's newborn son after his abduction from Michael Reese Hospital in April of 64. The case came to an apparently happy end more than a year later when an abandoned child resembling Chester and Dora's son was found in New Jersey and returned to them. But it's not the case.
Wow.
Joan Hyde, a spokeswoman for the FBI Chicago office, said the Bureau decided to reopen the case after reviewing the original case file. Said, we decided it merited another look. The main thing is to look at physical evidence, see if technology and tests that weren't available when the case was originally worked could provide leads. This is interesting. Why didn't they undergo DNA testing right away?
Maybe we didn't do much. I mean, this was back in the 60s.
Yeah, this is 60s, sure.
Right.
But there's been advancements made before 2013.
Oh, yeah. And also, if he felt he really, you know, didn't look like his parents or other members of the family, this just came to him now, almost 50 years later, or, you know, when did that light go on? Say, hey, you know, I just don't seem to fit in here, but don't know what was behind it. I would think, though, I mean, even though they're not your biological child, I mean, they raised him.
Sure.
They've had this relationship. I wonder what that would cause us that, knowing that he would want to find his other parents now.
Well, for all intents and purposes, Paul's parents are Chester and Dora.
You would think so, right?
He was raised, not biologically,
right,
but that's all he's known his entire life. But still, there's got to be that piece of you that has to solve this mystery, that just wants answers before you pass away.
Yeah, well, as you said,
doesn't mean you want to disown Chester and Dora, the parents that raised you your entire life. You just want to find out answers.
Right. And
for Chester and Dora, they probably want to find out who their real child is too. I mean, there's got to be still something in them that says, yeah, is the real Paul out there?
Now, does it say, do the parents still live in the Chicago area?
They haven't responded to phone calls, things like that,
that
have been placed. Paul's the only one that's come forward with this, saying, hey, the investigation is reopened. It's still unsolved. In fact, Paul told KLAS-TV in Las Vegas this year that he's trying to learn his true identity. He says, I don't know how old I am or who I am or what nationality, all those things you just take for granted all these years. But now his life is a mystery. This is fascinating.
And you wonder where the real Paul is, if he even has any idea that he's not living with his real parents or whatever, you know, however he was raised.
Yeah, crazy.
Huh.
7:23 with Mike and Matt. Story out of the Journal Sentinel. More Wisconsinites than ever before are wearing seatbelts. though the number still lags behind the nation's average as well as neighboring states like Illinois and Michigan, according to a news release from Governor Scott Walker. Seatbelt compliance in the state rose 4 percentage points over the year before to 83%. An annual observational survey by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation found the state's rate was 70% in 2003, so we're up to 83%. That's good. Not wearing a seatbelt is a major contributor to fatalities on Wisconsin roads, or really any roads.
So we're supposed to celebrate that 17% of the people are still breaking the law.
Well, we're getting better.
That's the truth, though.
We're getting better.
This is something that was been initiated so many years ago, and we still have people that don't put on their seatbelts.
Now, the average compliance rate in the U.S. is 84%, and states like Illinois and Michigan have rates of more than 90%.
Good for them.
Yeah. You'd like us to be higher.
We'd like it to be 100%.
But at least we're growing.
All right. I guess you look at that positive.
We're up 4 percentage points, Mike.
All right. Buckle up.
Quit poo-pooing everything. That's my job.
Oh, I see.
Okay? Speaking of poo-pooing everything, last half hour, I didn't think that this Thursday could get any worse.
Now it's even, you mentioned.
It started with Ricky Weeks' injury last night to his hamstring. Right. He's probably going to the DL.
Then last half hour,
we talked about Paula Deen. She will not be joining Dancing with the Stars this upcoming season, kicking me while I'm down. And now this story from FoxSports.com. Brandon Moore, offensive lineman in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's decided to retire rather than join the Dallas Cowboys. Now, that probably doesn't make a difference to anybody else if you're not familiar with the true legend that is Brandon Moore. Brandon Moore, last Thanksgiving, was a major contributor to the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez
and
the New York Jets.
Yes, indeed.
In fact, it was his big old arse that caused the butt fumble, maybe the most glorious play in NFL history. And now, this piece of the butt fumble is walking away
from the
NFL altogether.
Well,
apparently, he didn't believe that Tony Romo could also pull off a butt fumble.
See, that's probably the case, yeah.
In 2013.
Well, but really, when you've done it once, do you really want to do it again?
Don't you?
I think that just one time you made your mark in the league. I think that's why he's retiring.
You're afraid maybe he would taint his legacy?
That's right, yeah.
If Romo couldn't pull it off quite to the same standards as Mark Sanchez?
Exactly. I can't get into his mind, but that's how I would feel if I was in his position.
Well, it still depresses me greatly.
Plus, who would want to play for the Cowboys?
That Brandon Moore, maybe, arguably, the best offensive lineman in NFL history, is walking away from the game.
I bet you feel bad you even got out of bed today.
This kills me. Kills me. 726.
WTAQ News Talk Sports.
Talking weather, we've got sunshine now, maybe some clouds later on, but they've now lowered it to just a 30% chance of an evening shower. After that, it's going to be partly sunny to mostly sunny for the rest of the weekend, with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. 52 in the Valley, 52 Green Bay.
You know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are depressed too. These are huge moments. Huge, depressing moments.
Well, do you have anything to brighten their day?
Yes. We're going to make someone a winner right now. With a pair of tickets and a bus ride on the Brewers Fan Express bus from Fox Sports Wisconsin. We're going to put you on that bus, get you to the game, Brewers-Reds on August 17th. That's a Saturday night game. We're going to get you there if you can answer a little bit of television trivia.
Okay.
Earlier this morning, we were talking about the Arsenio Hall show.
Yes.
I saw a promotion for it on Fox 11 this morning during their morning show.
Mm-hmm.
The Arsenio Hall show is coming back to late night TV this fall, okay? Here's how you're going to win the tickets. The original Arsenio Hall show, according to IMDb.com, went on the air in 1989. Phone numbers 406-1360 or 1-888-455-1360. According to IMDb.com, when did the original Arsenio Hall show go off the air?
Okay.
Went on the air in 1989, but what year did the original Arsenio Hall show go off the air? And if you were listening this morning, you already know the answer.
That's right.
406-1360 or 1-888-455-1360. Good morning. What's your first name?
Do I have to admit it? Nick?
Yes, Nick. What's your guess?
I hated that show, but I'm going to say 90.
90? No, it was around for more than a season.
Yeah, it was on for more than a season.
Yes. Not 1990. Good morning. What's your first name?
Jim.
What's your guess?
1994.
Yes, sir. You are a winner. Got yourself a pair of tickets to go see the Brewers take on the Reds Saturday, August 17th. You're also going to get on the Fox Sports Wisconsin Brewers Fan Express bus. We'll be giving away another pair before 8:30 this morning, so be listening for that. It's 7:28 with Mike and Matt.